This podcast is brought to you with limited interruption by Rudy Luther Toyota. Whether looking for an exciting brand new Toyota, a certified pre-owned vehicle, or getting quality routine maintenance and service for your vehicle, Rudy Luther Toyota is the place to go. Rudy Luther Toyota, the southeast corner of 394 and 169 in Golden Valley. From the Civic Media Radio Network, it's the Matt McNeil Show for your Friday. Good to be with you, Matt and Patrick here today, 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205 is the phone number. Hello to Minneapolis, St. Paul on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. Hello, Madison and Columbus. Devil Radio, 92.7 FM in Madison, WTTN, 1580 AM in Columbus, and WAUK, 540 AM, 101 FM, the Shaw, Waukesha, Milwaukee. Hello. How are you guys? Good to have you with us today. Patrick, we mentioned this yesterday. I want to bring this up. You are up in Grand Marais. You do realize you missed an event up there that this weekend. It's the Arts Festival this weekend up in Grand Marais.
I did not see that on the schedule. It's unfortunate that I mistimed my trip by a week.
Damn it, Patrick.
I'm sorry. I know I was bad. I didn't look at the schedule, but I did have a nice 4th of July, so that makes up for it.
Well, the paintings up there, they're on deer, and you have to go catch them. I mean, they're speedy, the suckers. Or driftwood. You say driftwood, huh? Wow, okay. Now, actually, I will mention that I'm going to do this every Friday through summer, because if you have listened to my show in Minneapolis, St. Paul, I love the summer festivals. I do. The only gripe I've got about them is, don't give me false freaking advertising. One year I went up to the Blueberry Festival in Ely, Minnesota. So what do you think is going to happen? I think it's going to be, as I approach the town, it's going to become like Caligula with blueberries. They're going to be chucking blueberries at me. I just have to open my mouth and blueberry goodness is going to come pouring on in, right? I went through the entire thing. It's like, where are the blueberries? And I thought to myself, I'm like, I don't think it's a too weird of a thing. I said, oh, great. I'll just pick up some blueberries when we're up there. I mean, they're going to have tons of them. No one at the local park, nothing there. They had a frozen blueberry pie, like the local, the Legion or the Lions, they had that. I ended up going to the grocery store there, and they're like, I don't know, do we have any blueberries? I guess there's some over here. So, go, wait a second here. You're having Blueberry Festival. And you forgot the blueberries. That's false advertising. That is false advertising. Don't do that.
Don't make us get out the lawsuits.
don't ruin my expectations, man. I go to the Waukesha Wild Rice Festival. Oh, now that delivers. That delivers. The wild rice pancakes are fantastic. They've got all sorts of wild rice goodness. There you go. Now, it doesn't necessarily have to be a food-based, but I mean, it helps if it is food-based. I do like that. But I was looking through Wisconsin and Minnesota. I got a few of them for you here, some ideas for you if you're looking for some weekend fun. First of all, Summerfest is in Milwaukee. This is, I think, the third stint with this. Did you know Backstreet's back? All right. That's right. The Backstreet Boys. You're going to be playing down there.
I heard this.
You did. So you're Backstreet over NSYNC, huh? Or are you New Kids?
I was neither, actually.
don't fool yourself, man. Those guys put out, I was working in a top 40 radio station in Ames, Des Moines, when it was NSYNC and Backstreet Boys, and they put out some great songs. So Backstreet Boys in Milwaukee, that's with Summerfest. Also, this is tomorrow. It sounds like 6 hours. It doesn't sound like a lot of time. It's in Eagle River, which it looks like, I was looking at the map, it looks like it's kind of up towards the border with Michigan there.
Yep, right on the border of the UP.
For 6 hours, they've got Burger Bash Arts and Crafts Show. For 6 hours, I mean, gorging yourself on burgers and then the fine arts and crafts. Oh, you painted it on a burger. Oh, how nice. I'll take four, and with cheese. So there you go. You got Burger Bash in Eagle River. In Madison, Art Fair on the Square. I've been to that. That's great. That's going to be going on this weekend. The Whitefish Bay Art Festival. That's actually just north of Milwaukee. that looks like it's going to be good fun, but I found one. We might have to do a road trip here. Brussels, Belgian days. Ooh, this is in Brussels, Wisconsin. You have any idea where that's at?
I actually do not know where that is.
It's north of Green Bay towards Door County that way. I don't think it's in Door County, but it's right close.
Okay.
So then, you're heading up that spit of land that goes out into Lake Michigan.
There's a good chance then that I might have been through it, but just not registered.
Wow. It is. I was looking at the lineup here. Of course, you can't have Belgian days and not have Belgian waffles. I mean, that's just, what's wrong with you? So they deliver on that. The Belgian waffles are there. They had Belgian pies, which the ones I had when I was in Belgium, high as a kite, by the way, the ones I had that were out there, they're kind of like pasties, you know, the meat and potato pies. We might, and yes, I am that much of a freaking simpleton. You got good food, I'll show up. I'm still looking forward to Swedish meatball days down in Story City, Iowa. Brussels Belgian days is tomorrow and Sunday in Brussels, Wisconsin. Coming across the St. Croix River, we mentioned the Grand Marais Art Colony is hosting the 31st Annual Grand Marais Arts Festival, July 9th through 10th, that's going on. July 8th, so this is going on today through the 13th, so into next week, it's the 70th anniversary of Sweetheart Days in Hackensack, way up northwest there. Apparently, it's a lot to do with Paul Bunyan's girl. Now, I don't judge. I thought that was Babe. But no, apparently there's a girlfriend. And there's a statue of her in Hackensack. You know, it's cold nights. You know, I'm not going to judge, you know. You're a little amorous. You also like steak. You know, you don't judge. I'm a lumberjack and I'm okay. No, sorry. No, it's apparently Paul Bunyan does have a girl. I don't know if it's regular size girl or gigantor.
Well, the statue in Hackensack is pretty large. So.
Oh, it's a big girl. Oh man. All right. Yeah. Is that what Paul said? Oh, yeah. There you go. So that's in Hackensack. And yes, I don't think I've embraced the spirit of Sweetheart Days to its fullest extent, but 70th anniversary in Hackensack of Sweetheart Days. Enjoy that. Prairie Fest. This is in Clara City. Lots of events going on there, including a pancake feed. Well, and do we really need to read anything past that? Pancake feed always gets me. Although the Belgian, well, of all these, Brussels, I'm sorry, you're the winner this week of all the events. I mean, going out the Belgian days, that sounds fantastic. But this one does have, if you're going to Clara City, pancake feed, kids tractor pull, get to work kids, parade, beer gardens, and much, much more as they advertise. Oh, yeah. Well, no, I would say, yeah. Now, first of all, I love a good arts festival. And you go out there. Sometimes it does get a little frustrating when you go out to these art festivals, especially if you, no, I might have like, say, and I know this is easy to say, you know, is, you know, you have $100, $200 you want to spend. And you're saying to yourself, oh, maybe I'll get some art, right? And you go out there and every artist is, well, the cheapest piece I got over here is $800. Yeah, like, no, Alan, that's not going to happen then. That's kind of what happened at the Edina Art Fair and the Uptown Art Fair. They both got real pricey real fast. And I guess, I don't know what the cost is for the booths in those two in Minneapolis, but I like an arts festival where you can get some stuff, you know, on the cheap. And I'm not saying I want something bad. I could make something myself that's atrocious. Trust me on that. But I do want to get something good. So that's why Madison's got a great one. If you get the chance to go down to Madison, Art Fair on the Square is just great. Plus, it's Madison. You know, Madison's a great town. So, the Whitefish Bay Art Fest, that's kind of suburban Milwaukee. But that Grand Marais one, I bet you can find some good stuff that's pretty inexpensive up there. Let me guess. Landscapes of Lake Superior. What do you think? We can find a picture of that.
I think there will be plenty of that. All shapes, sizes, any kind that you're looking for, all different kinds of the day, times of the year, it's all going to be available.
It still is Brussels Belgian days. It's still butter and syrup, you say? Well, that and the Backstreet Boys, butter and syrup, you say? That and the festival for Paul Bunyan's girl, butter and syrup, you say? Well, I don't judge. I do not judge. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. Yes, I will get to that atrocious Supreme Court ruling in Wisconsin here in just a little bit. Ugh, you're not even trying to hide it anymore, are you, you freaking jackasses? All right, I'll get to that in a second. But I want to take some time here, and I'll take this next segment when we come back from the break in just a few minutes here. But of course, now, my show, I'm from Minneapolis, St. Paul. I am in Wisconsin. I know that even on shows about gardening and auto repair, that from Wisconsin, occasionally the Green Bay Packers will come up as far as a conversation topic. And I kind of alluded to this on Tuesday on the first show on the network, but the reality is, you know, I'm not going to talk too much here. I like baseball. Actually, I'm a huge baseball fan. I grew up on the East Coast as a kid, fell in love with Carl Yastrzemski and the Boston Red Sox. And so I'm a big fan of baseball, period, but I generally don't want to talk too much about it because not so much embarrassed the Vikings. No. And for me, sports is partially on the plate of life. I got too many other things. My kids, my wife, my house, my dog, my job, things I really like here that are the bigger priority for me. Sports is something nice I pay attention to occasionally, but not too often. No, it's because this whole system is just screwed up. And I'll break that down for you when we come on back. It is 952-946-6205, the Matt McNeil Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Got a strong shiver rolling up my arm. It's the Matt McNeil Show. Across Minneapolis, St. Paul, as well as Madison, Waukesha, Milwaukee. Good to have you with us. A quick little side note, if I can, to Lisa, a longtime listener of my show. All my best. So sorry for your loss. By all means, love you, dear. And all my best to your family as well. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. So why will I not talk too much about football? No, it has nothing to do with the Vikings. And overall, if I can say this, yeah, they haven't won the Super Bowl, but they're more good than bad. I mean, it's not the Lions, for God's sakes. Dear Lord. Super Bowl fever in Detroit lasts about 4 or 5 minutes. You know, it's a very curable disease. Super Bowl fever is a curable disease in Detroit. No, it actually has to do with the Vikings in this entire debacle for that the U.S. Bank Stadium that they've got here. You know what I'm really jealous of you guys in Wisconsin for? Not the Packers winning record of Super Bowls. No, the fact that you are an anomaly in this world. You own your team. It's never moving. And don't get me wrong, I mean, you have the Brewers and you have the Bucks there, and you know, they're always that. You get a little bit of that this with that. But the idea that your most beloved sports team in your state never will be do what they did here, which is when all of a sudden the Metrodome, which, you know, collapsed, which once again, I still have a lot of questions about that. Why were you spraying a whole bunch of water up on the roof when it was snowing like crazy? That seems like you were trying to collapse the roof. But yeah, whatever. Anyway, all of a sudden they came on out. And the first offer they said was, all right, well, we'll need $600 million for a stadium. And then all of a sudden it was, oh, we need $900 million. Then it was $1.2 billion for a stadium. And the people are like, what? And then all of a sudden, Ziggy Wilf heads on over and he goes to visit Los Angeles and he gets off the plane and he goes out to this empty, you know, parking lot of a field in an industrial complex, and he starts rubbing his chin. Yeah, I could see me moving a football team out here. And then he flies to St. Louis, goes and finds some industrial park out there, and yeah, there it is. And then they come back with this, hey, well, if you build it, it will be the People's Stadium. Jesus, what a joke that was. Now, I can look at numbers like the next guy and look and see, wait a second here, $1.2 billion to give a stadium to a billionaire who could build 15 or 16 of them on their own. Okay, that doesn't seem like a good civic investment. It doesn't. And trust me, there are plenty of metro areas which don't seem to, you know, disappear overnight because their football team leaves. There are many of them. Portland, Oregon. You have got, which is a gorgeous town if you've ever been out there. St. Louis is, you know, nice at times, but that has nothing to do with their sports teams. Salt Lake City. There are plenty of towns that don't have a Major League football team, an NFL team. So when you start getting up into the $1.2 billion, I'm like, wow, that's a little obnoxious. But the NFL, what they do is they first of all, you know, they bribe out all the sports reporters in any given town by, you know, if you're not on board, you know, maybe your press credentials, we maybe have to reevaluate those. Or I'm not saying they actually did, but I mean, there's that kind of thing. If all of a sudden I start going out there and bad mouthing the team that wants to build a new stadium, will I be invited to go to games? You have the NFL airs games on all the networks. NBC, ABC, CBS, Fox, they were all in line up in here in Minneapolis, St. Paul. Not a single sportscaster on any of those stations was getting in line. Was like, wait, how much money do you want to spend? No. Not at all. I remember when there was a guy that made the Hartford Whalers hockey team so mad that he broadcast every game outside the stadium, and he did it with pride. Now, God forbid, the sports people don't get their bobbleheads and all the giveaways for this week's game. Oh, gosh, what do you want me to say? What do you want me to say? Oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God. So there wasn't – the Star Tribune in this town did not post, to my knowledge, a story questioning the cost of the stadium until the day after the stadium was approved. Then all of a sudden, well, wow, that's a lot of money. Yeah, maybe you should have brought that story up before the vote. And by the way, it wasn't $1.2 million. There's been upgrades and renovations. That the building they made it in, it's a geometric freaking nightmare. It's never seeming to be done. And there was also all the sewer lines, electrical, parks that had to be built, all that stuff. It ended up being a $2 billion process, man. A god-awful amount of money. And the Republicans in this state, oh my God, the same people that when you suggested maybe $25,000 or $30,000 in taxpayer dollars going to the local dance theater or the art museum would get red-faced and spittle flying out of their mouth and veins popping on their foreheads going, how dare you waste my taxpayer money on that? Or if you suggest feeding a hungry kid, You're the moocher class. Ah! All of a sudden, those same people were like, you know, $2 billion. That's a value. We'll be a lesser town if we don't get this. We gotta save the football team. $2 billion. That's a good investment. Investment, my butt, my God. The People's Stadium. I tried to find tickets for one game. It was $1,500, and those were crap seats. $1,500 for five of us to go. Sure, they give out a few dozen seats to some low-income kids every game and, you know, get the cameras in their face to try to take advantage of it. But the vast majority of seats in that place, you've got to be a millionaire just to get in the damn door. Let alone buy, what's the beer over there cost nowadays? Like $13, $14? Or is it $17? Is it up to $20? Is it up to $20? It's a joke. It's an absolute joke. And you'll never make that money back. I actually, on a show years ago when they were talking about this, I actually did the numbers. How much money every person that goes into that stadium would have to spend in the downtown outside of the facility to make that money back. It was something like $500 per person going to games, because football only has 16 games. Now 17 games, but there's just a finite amount of games. You actually get a much better rate of return on a baseball stadium because you have 81 games. And that's maybe why I like baseball. One of the reasons why I like baseball more than I like football right now is because at least I can afford to go to a game. I'm not exactly living check to check here. I'm middle class. I'm aware of my circumstances. But if I cannot afford, I mean, not even in a million years. And it's not the only sport. I mean, the NHL, the Wild over at the XL Energy Center. I went over there. I tried to get tickets when I had a friend from Ireland coming over. For nine of us, it was $4,500. I said, no. I mean, I could fly to Ireland at that point to go see them. Dear Lord. No, I'm not going to be talking about it because the system is screwed up. But you're lucky, Wisconsin. We'll take a break. Come back. More of the show in just a moment. The Matt McNeil Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Good to be with you. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. By the way, you can also watch the show if you like. We are live streaming on Facebook. You go to AM950 Radio on Facebook, as well as Progressive Citizen X Matt McNeil Show. There, you're more than welcome to watch the show. Radio for your eyes, and of course, the Twitter feed. Matt McNeil Show there. We'd love to hear from you. 952-946-6205. That's the thing, is I'm not so jealous of Super Bowl trophies. I'm jealous of the ownership situation you have, because that will never happen again. Not with any of the four major sports. No, no way. Because they want the ability to be able to blackmail the town into building them a stadium or else. And then it also salivates these other markets that don't have a team into basically throwing as much money as they can to build them a stadium and hand them the keys. No, if you're Green Bay, if you're wondering what I'm jealous of, it's not records, it's not trophies, it's the fact that you'll never have to, with your beloved team over there, never have to go through the nightmare. Because I can tell you right now, in 15 years, all of a sudden, Ziggy Wolf is probably like, oh, this stadium's pretty inferior now. Maybe I should make a trip to pick a town. I could say Jacksonville, but because they don't have a football team. Oh, wait, yeah, I guess. Yeah, I don't know, whatever. But like Salt Lake City or something like that. Sure. They'll go, oh, maybe we need a stadium. And all of a sudden, the same guy that's like, never spend my taxpayer dollars is going to be $4 billion for a stadium. It's a great investment. God. You pay that money for a team, and I don't care which team it is. Every team has just god-awful games every once in a while. Yeah, that doesn't sit well with me. Phil from New York. He wanted to chime in on baseball prices, because I can tell you out in New York as well, it's pretty nasty. Hey, Phil.
Hi, Matt. I just read that the majority of Major League Baseball teams are losing attendance, and I think one of the reasons is that Major League Baseball is outpricing themselves.
Yep,
I think they are. We used to go to Yankee game once a year, and we would sit up at the top because that was the only seats we could afford, and they were $46. Then they went up to $85, so we stopped going. They're just outpricing themselves. You almost have to get a second mortgage to afford to take a family to any kind of sports entertainment these days.
And Phil, how many times will you see them say, oh, it's a sellout crowd, and then you look at the stands, and a third of the stands are empty because they're season ticket holders that paid $1 billion for the seats, and just no one goes. And you're like, this is the environment you want people to come watch the game in? I mean, come on. I mean, how many games have I watched this year in baseball where there's been just completely empty stands behind home plate?
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
We have a minor league team here, here in Albany, New York.
The Mets? No, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said that. Anyway, you have a minor league team, yes.
Yeah, and it's great. It's pretty good baseball. Tickets are $14. You don't have to sell your house to get a couple hot dogs and a beer.
Not bad.
So,
do they have the pickle in the stands? Because you get a good pickle at a minor league baseball park, that's delicious.
No, I don't think they have any pickles, but they have craft beer.
There you go. About that. There you go. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it. The Saints here in town. They have. I still think they have the pickles out there, which are fantastic. My first radio job was Armed Forces Radio Network in Nuremberg, Germany. If I'd known what I was doing when I did it, I would have done it a lot different. Trust me. But my first commercial job was down in Beloit, Wisconsin, and we had at that point the Beloit Brewers. They were eventually the Beloit Terrapins. God, that was a great night. You know, it was not the best baseball, but dirt cheap. Get in the stands. They had good food. Nothing wrong with that. I do like the minor leagues.
Hey, Matt, quick question. Are you broadcasting from Wisconsin now?
No, I'm in Minneapolis, St. Paul. I'm at the Palatial Broadcasting Complex here in Eden Prairie.
Okay.
All right. Thanks, Phil. I appreciate the phone call. 952-946-6205. All right. Enough frivolity. Let's talk about the four jackasses on the Wisconsin Supreme Court, shall we? All right. In a 4-3 decision, the Wisconsin Supreme Court ruled that absentee ballot drop boxes are illegal and voters must deliver the ballots by mail or deliver them in person to local clerks. They're not even trying to hide it, are they? The court's four conservative members, I'm going to guess it took them a little time to take the knee pads off after seeing their Republican Uber lords. The four conservative members, I don't care about you guys. Listen to me. Listen to me, you four jackass clowns. Until you start actually doing your job, as opposed to just doing what the party wants, putting party over Wisconsin or party over this country, I'm going to dismantle you freaking clowns. Jeez, what kind of ruling is this? Oh, let me pull my ruling out of my backside. Oh, here it is. Ordered by the Republican overlords. God, this is just pathetic. You're not even trying to hide this. I mean, I'm sure, did your first draft of this ruling include something about white men landowners only can vote? Because I'm guessing that's where you guys are going to go eventually. Just pathetic. Just pathetic. The four conservative members of the Wisconsin decided the Wisconsin Election Commission gave inappropriate advice when it gave guidance to local election clerks that drop boxes are a valid way to return an absentee ballot. Wow. Despite the fact that drop boxes have been used for years, Republicans turned on the voting method after the 2020 presidential election because they lost, alleging that they are vulnerable to fraud as they search for ways to cast doubts on election results. So basically, Republicans told these four justices how to jump, and the four justices said how high. The record indicates hundreds of ballot boxes have been set up in past elections, prompted by memos, and thousands of votes have been cast via this unlawful method, thereby directly harming the Wisconsin voters, said Justice Rebecca Bradley, wrote in the majority opinion. Listen to how they say, you nefariously put these drop boxes up. We're going to stop you. We're going to stop you. God. Did your legal degree there, Justice, come from a bazooka box of gum there? Is that where it is? Is there a comic book on the backside of your degree? Oh, he got stuck by the knock-knock joke again. Oh, go get that up. Oh. The illegality of these drop boxes weakens the people's faith in the election, produced the outcome affected their will. There was no voter fraud, you absolute clowns. There was no voter fraud. You are taking QAnon talking points and writing them as a Supreme Court decision, you freaking idiots. Dear Lord. God. The Wisconsin voters and all lawful voters were injured when the institution charged with administering Wisconsin votes does not follow the law, leaving the result in question. Take that out of your mouth and actually start looking at a freaking law book there, Rebecca. I won't call you Justice Rebecca because you haven't earned the respect that comes with a title like that. So, Becky, you are a fool. Did you erase the GOP, notes on this ruling before you delivered it? God, what a freaking joke you guys are. By the way, I live in Minneapolis, so screw you. Becky, who regularly makes historical comparisons in her opinion, once again pulled from her capoose apparently, added that in order for Wisconsin's elections to be trusted, voters have to believe that the laws are being followed, that their vote will count. Like the last election, where Trump lost? Wow. If the right to vote is to have any meaning at all, elections must be conducted according to law. Throughout history, tyrants, blah, 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 tyrants. Oh, look at, listen to this. Tyrants. And then, of course, she brings in Saddam Hussein. And then Kim Jong-il, who was their buddy until Trump left office. Now he's a bad guy again. And now Castro and Assad. Okay. Becky, you should actually quit because your legal degree is not worth squat. You do understand what this is quite possibly the biggest attempt to turn a molehill into a mountain I've ever seen. You've said because some Republicans who have made up that there was voter fraud don't like absentee ballot boxes. Oh my God, it's Saddam Hussein again. Oh my God, I am Becky and this is my ruling. Oh my God, BFF. Hearts, were there heart logos on the ruling with arrows through them? Oh my God. I can't believe I've made another ruling. Oh my God. Give me the stupidest history bucket ever. I'm going to find some things to compare it to. There was this one time on Happy Days that, oh my God, it's the same exact thing. Oh, Becky. Jeez. You know, Becky joined the majority 4-3 decision, choosing to legislative districting plan by the Republicans that increased the already heavy gerrymandered majority of the state. In a dissenting opinion, Justice Ann Walsh Bradley wrote that the drop boxes are a simple and legal way to make voting easier, especially during a pandemic. She added the court's majority has regularly decided to put up roadblocks to voting in the state. Although it pays lip service to the import of the right to vote, the majority lead opinion has the practical effect of making it more difficult to exercise it. Such a result, although lamentable, is not a surprise from this court, as it has seemingly taken the opportunity to make it harder to vote or to interject confusion into the process, whether it's been presented with the opportunity. Drop boxes have already fallen out of use in Wisconsin following the original decision by the case by a Waukesha County Circuit Court judge. By this year's April elections, municipalities were putting large signs on their drop boxes to make sure voters didn't accidentally break the law. The court remains silent on a separate question on the Waukesha County race, whether voters are allowed to have someone else drop off their absentee ballot for them. Republicans have demonized this practice as ballot harvesting. Dude, have you seen every freaking person that seems to have actually broken the law voting in this last election cycle was a Republican voting twice? Have you seen that? No matter their politics, we believe the democracy strives to ensure every eligible voter can cast a ballot. With its ruling today, the Wisconsin Supreme Court is making it more difficult to vote. It's a slap in the face of the rural communities, people with limited means, few transport options, and inflexible work schedules who are disproportionately young people and people of color. Democratic Governor Tony Evers said the decision is more of an example of Republicans attacking the state's democracy and make it harder to exercise the right to vote. I mean, it is. I mean, it's plainly that. It's plainly that. They're not even hiding it. They're fixing the system. And by the way, in Wisconsin, we got to go back to 2010 because we had Tom Emmer as the governor case running against Mark Dayton. And we had a third party candidate that basically ended up drawing enough votes away to where, you know, Mark Dayton became the governor of Minnesota while you guys went with, you know, Johnny Loonball there. And, you know, we would be in the same position you are. I mean, they are openly just, you know, yeah, we don't care. We're going to try. I'm surprised this ruling from Becky didn't have something to the effect of, well, if your skin color is somehow darker than a ream of paper, well, then you have to go through an extra hurdle. I mean, seriously. Are you a registered Democrat? Well, your vote doesn't count. That's our ruling. It's there. Oh, my God. Becky with my ruling. Now, let me quote some historical facts that don't matter to anything, because I'm Becky. Oh, my God. Justice Becky. Oh, my God. God, I'm going to have fun destroying you clowns. Two things. One, Well, this is what it is. Now, before Democrats give up, you can still vote. It just means you got to want it more. So you know what you need to do. Now, you can help people mail their ballot, or if they have to turn it in themselves, get car rides ready to go. Drive people to the election office. Find out the hours of the election office and let them take their ballot in and drop it off. I'm sure if you start doing that, Republicans will try to file a lawsuit saying, you can't drive anyone. They got to walk on their knees all the way. I'm probably going to guess that's what Wisconsin Republicans will do. But that's one thing. And then the other thing I just want to remind everyone in Wisconsin of is these Supreme Court justices, their races, they're statewide. So the next time one of them comes out and goes, gee willikers, I might lean Republican, but I'm not like those guys. Those guys are extremist far right loon balls. I wouldn't be like that. They're lying. They are lying. They're lying. They're lying. They are just lying. They are not telling you the truth. They're lying. Do not vote for another conservative ever again. Just don't. Just do not. And that's how you get in the Supreme Court justices that are going to correct this, and you get it done. But until that time, Becky rules. We're back after the break.
Billboard, baby, do a leap and make them dance when they come on. Everybody looking for a dance floor to run on.
If you want to run away with me, I know a galaxy and I can take you for a ride.
The Matt McNeil Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Hello there, Devil Radio 92.7 in Madison, WTTN 1580 AM in Columbus, WAUK 540 AM and 101 FM, the Shaw in Waukesha, Milwaukee. It is the Matt McNeil Show. Hi, I'm Matt, 952-946-6205. I think on Friday is what I'm going to do here. Is take time to point out the dumbest Republican in Wisconsin and the dumbest Republican in Minnesota before we end the show. Is that possible? Could I possibly find enough people here? Well, I guess I'm going to have to trim the list down. Let's start off with your 6 foot tall pile of crap that you call a senator, Ron Johnson. As a matter of fact, let's go to Ron Johnson right now for a quote. Senator, paste. Can I call Johnson Bubbles? You know, like this. Can I do that? Bubbles Johnson. Apparently, this idiot reportedly wanted an awkwardly inaccurate radio ad about the cause of the latest mass murder off the air after the Highland Park, Illinois shooting on Monday. The campaign of Ron Johnson, who is seeking re-election, wanted the ad that downplayed gun violence stopped after the mass shooting of the 4th of July parade that left 7 people dead, dozens of others injured. A Republican senator reportedly wanted the vice president of sales for Katz Radio Group, who worked to make the ad Johnson's campaign requested, said that it was pulled ASAP a day after the Highland shooting. The ad basically said, you know, it was trying to point to that tragedy down in, it was in Texas or it was in New Mexico where all the people died, the immigrants died in the van, and say, see, the last mass murder didn't happen because of a gun. Here's what makes Ron Johnson so stupid. You do realize what's going on in this country right now, don't you there, Bubbles? You do, don't you? I mean, that there is a mass shooting every single freaking day. Some days, 2 or 3 mass shootings every day in this country. The idea of airing this, I mean, I guess, was your argument, well, they won't be that bad, and so we can put this on the air. Or they're going to happen far away from Wisconsin, so we can put this on the air. No, every day there's a mass shooting. Because of the gun kook crazy crowd you have basically enticed to basically carry guns everywhere and solve all problems with guns, for God's sakes. I mean, dear Lord, who is the brain trust in that campaign that said, you know what we should do? Let's downplay the mass casualty events of this country, huh? Who's with me? You're just an idiot. God, Johnson, you're an idiot. For all our folks in Wisconsin, have I got a treat for you. Oh, on the Minnesota side this week, let me introduce you to Minnesota candidate for the Secretary of State from the Minnesota GOP, Kimberly Crockett. Actually, I don't know if it's Kimberly. I've only seen it Kim. Kim Crockett. Oh, yeah, the first thing that she did, which was really bad, was, well, I mean, she's done a lot of things that was really bad. She actually got fired from a Republican far-right think tank for racist comments she had made. And then she, before the GOP convention, which was held back in May, she basically apologized and then unapologized. And no, I know, consistency. Kim Crockett... If you didn't catch this story, wow, we can add anti-Semitism to the old racism, you know, clod here. She aired an anti-Semitic video during the GOP convention, which the Minnesota GOP doesn't want to acknowledge. Everyone in that place applauded with well-known anti-Semitic tropes. And did this. I mean, they just, once again, they're not even trying to hide it anymore. Just, yeah, let's go with the bigotry. She won her party's endorsement Friday to become the Republican nominee for Secretary of State. This is a story from May 16th from the Minnesota Reformer. She's been condemned for a campaign imagery she used at the state GOP convention showing George Soros as a puppet master, an old anti-Semitic theme. The headline from the Jerusalem Post reads, GOP-backed Minnesota politician Jewish incumbent is controlled by Soros. She was saying that Jewish incumbent is controlled by Soros. Jacob Milner, the Upper Midwest Regional Director of the American Jewish Committee, issued the statement criticizing George Soros and his politics is one matter, but portraying him as the video as a puppet master controlling elections is a vicious anti-Semitic trope. It's been made worse by the fact that the puppet strings appear connected to Steve Simon and Mark Elias, both of whom are Jewish. King Crockett must immediately apologize and repudiate the bigotry. She did not respond to comment. I don't believe she actually ever apologized. The Republican Party came on out and you know, kind of like, well, what do you mean that's anti-Semitic? Well, we were so busy applauding that it, yeah, we don't quite know what you're talking about. We really, that's anti-Semitism? Wow. We didn't know. This is also a woman who wants to run the elections in Minnesota, and she has no idea how the elections run. From Max Halperin, from Kim Crockett, the Republican-endorsed candidate for Minnesota Secretary of State, says she'll try to persuade a wider audience that she's an expert on Minnesota election law. So a few things here. Secretary of State ought to be, at a minimum, know that the Secretary of State's office does what they do. So let's start with her telling a Senate committee she received a ballot mailed by that office. Problem, they don't mail any ballots. Counties and municipalities mail the ballots. Likewise, here she is telling a talk show host about military ballots delivered to the Secretary of State's office. They aren't, and saying she needs to find out whether they're being counted by counties or by the state. No ballots are actually counted in Minnesota by the state. The Secretary of State should also know that although voters need to have resided in the state for 20 days, if they move within the state, they vote in the area where they currently live, even if they just move. That's a frequently asked question. Election judges know that answer. She apparently doesn't. And then on top of it, I mean, and just really the cherry on top of the Kim Crockett sundae. That doesn't taste right. Like I said, you think I'm going to be nice. No, I'm not going to be nice. She apparently decided, and this from Michael Broadcorp, who covers Republican politics in Minnesota, she had to send out this correction. I'm just going to read the correction from Kim Crockett, who's running for the Secretary of State of Minnesota. This is from her campaign. Earlier today, we sent out an email which stated early voting started June 24th and primary election day is August 8th. The primary election day in Minnesota is actually August 9th. Put it on your calendar. It's important to get out. Speaking of putting it on the calendar, Kim, you might want to grab the old Sharpie on that one and, you know, circle the date or something like that. Yeah, anti-Semitic, doesn't know the damn thing about the job, and she's been in hiding. But I saw her when I was in Edina at the 4th of July parade over there. She made a showing. Now, Edina, if you're in Milwaukee, it's a very wealthy suburb. So she apparently came out of her hate bunker and decided to walk the parade route. I took a picture, It was delicious. Well, not, well, ugh, no, God, ugh, no, no, ugh. She did, her crew basically put stickers on every kid they could. There's no escaping, you're getting a sticker. I'm crying now, the woman hurt me. Wisconsin folk in Madison, Milwaukee, Waukesha, enjoy your next hour. Minneapolis, St. Paul, we're back. Hour two up next. Portions of this broadcast may be pre-recorded. Am I pre-recorded? I don't think I'm pre-recorded. I think... Wait, one second. Ow! No, I'm here. The Matt McNeil Show for your Friday. Good to have you back with us. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. I will say one of my favorite summertime events. I talked about this last hour in the national hour that we did. Or the regional hour, I should say, when we're talking in Madison and Milwaukee, which, by the way, can I just tell you how thrilled I am to be that? That's fan-freaking-tastic. That is just cool. I'm glad. I mean, and I'm dead serious, too. When I talked last hour, I said, I don't want to talk. It's, you know, your team's fine. You guys, you win. That's great. I'm more upset about the fact that you guys, you know, you guys are lucky. You guys get this team that never is going to blackmail you to leave. And, you know, the L.A. Vikings saying, oh, God, I remember that. Ugh, God, I hated that. And I still do. It's the People's Stadium. By the way, $500 a ticket if you want to see anything from that's not in the nosebleeds. About that. But we were talking last hour about the holiday fest, the summer festivals. Raspberry Festival in Hopkins kicks off here. They're going to do the medallion this year. One of these years, I'm going to find it. They hide it. So it's like the St. Paul Winter Carnival. They hide a medallion around the city somewhere. I'm going to find it. I'm going to place it around my neck. Ha, ha, ha. Ha, ha, ha. I guess that means I own the town for a year. I mean, that would seem like a fair bet if I do find it. It's my city now. I don't think that's a benefit of finding the medallion. I'm pretty sure about that. That's not the case. But needless to say, it's one of my favorites. I do like it when they have raspberries, though. Because once again, not just a big raspberry festival, but, you know, I should be coming into downtown Main Street in Hopkins, and, you know, people are throwing raspberries at me. That's mwah, the world that I want to have. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. And by the way, one of the things I'm very glad about is that we keep this hour. The 4 o'clock hour is still here, local Minneapolis, St. Paul, where I can talk about Minnesota politics. And I did not bring in any Democrats of the Day this week. I wanted to see how this all was going to work. Starting next week, we'll bring back the Democrats of the Day. I mean, you did hear, you know, Stein and Dr. Joe Eastman. Schechter is going to join us. We'll get all the usuals. The usuals will be back. And, we'll have a lot of fun. So glad you're with us. I don't quite know what to think about this. The owner of the unofficial, this is a story from Bring Me the News. Have you ever been to the unofficial there, Patrick? It's a dive bar in St. Anthony.
I did not get to go there.
Okay. The owner of the unofficial, a dive bar in St. Anthony, closed the bar down and fired all the staff who allege he fostered a toxic, volatile work environment. So they're accusing you of a toxic, volatile work environment, and your solution is to shut the doors and fire everyone. Oh, okay. It reminds me of that great line from Frasier from Niles Crane. Don't you call me short-tempered. You know how much I hate that. I love that line. Frasier at times was an absolutely brilliant show. The business posted on its Facebook page that it was closed temporarily for some much-needed updates. The comments on the post are filled with customers criticizing the owner, Chris Christopherson, not made up, for allegedly mistreating his employees. Employees say they received an email from owner Christopherson after doors were already locked on Wednesday morning. The Bring Me the News obtained the email, which states the reason for the closure is due to restoring the original philosophy that made this place what it is, and accused his staff of exhibiting childish ugliness. Once again, from a guy who, when this happened, immediately closed the bar and locked the doors and fired everyone. Okay. I'm going to read this as much as I can. So once again, and this is a dive bar. When I created this concept back in 2015, I did so with the philosophy that true hospitality can exist in a dive bar. In 2020, I decided we were ready to add a GM position that would allow me to step back in operations and focus more on growth and strategy. Over the years, I've learned a few lessons, most of them the hard way. Most significant is one that I'm still learning, which is knowing how much freedom to give someone to manage their department, but enough supervision to prevent damage. I first became aware of this last fall when I felt like I could see my philosophy erode with each new hire. Over the next several months, I worked extremely closely with my managers to restore the philosophy of the training program. After several months, many hours of support, and very little progress, it was clear a change was needed. I didn't expect any of you to be happy about the changes, but what I've experienced since returning, frankly, makes me a little gross. And by the way, it's little period, then gross, two periods. Grammarly helps. I mean, seriously, Grammarly is fantastic. Between the attitudes, sideways comments, and TikTok videos, the rumor spreading, the hostility, the general lack of support for anyone, just to name a few, I don't deserve it. I would never, nor would I allow anyone to treat any of you in this manner. This is absolutely not the culture that I built. It grosses me out, and I refuse to be part of it. And while I'm sure not all of you subscribe to this childish ugliness, unfortunately, you... I didn't expect you to be happy about the changes. What I find experiencing since returning, frankly, makes me... Oh, well, excuse me. That's the same thing there. You must endure the consequences, so make sure you thank them. Effectively, immediately, I'm closing the doors. I'm going to rest now. This is still the email. I'm going to rest now. Afterward, I'll resume working towards restoring the original philosophy that made the place what it is. Reminder, this is a dive bar. It's not like a... you know, nuclear power think tank here. It's a dive bar. If you reject this type of behavior and care to be part of the recovery, I'll be accepting applications at the bar starting on Monday. Saddened and disappointed, Christopher, or Chris, support your local dive bar. According to Andrew Bauman, a former general manager at the business, it came after employees decided on their own to close the restaurant on Tuesday due to a staffing shortage. They allege they reached out to Christopherson multiple times before making the decision, but he failed to respond. And by the way, that's something that's happened in a lot of places. I mean, there's been times where I've gone to a restaurant and you go to the door and they say, you know, due to staffing shortages, we are closed tonight. Okay. It's what happens. It's what happens. I mean, it's just, it was happening. You don't basically create a situation, and especially in a dive bar, where there's not enough bouncers, there's not enough staff, there's not enough bartenders, because that could be looking to, you know, create a nightmare. Christopher responded with the email after he locked the doors with chains placed around the handles. He offered employees to reapply for their positions following the closure. He was always a paranoid owner that often thought people were conspiring against him, Bauman said. Bauman also alleged staff were abused by Christopherson towards employees during his time there before he walked away from the position last week. In one instant, Christopherson asked an employee to question, and he didn't like the answer, so he threw an entire BLT sandwich in the employee's face. He said, noting the employee was a teenager, people began to leave as soon as they couldn't take it anymore. Dude, are you actually throwing food in people's faces? Because is that the philosophy of your dive bar? Because I got to believe that's actually assault. You can't do that legally in Minnesota. So if there's evidence that he was actually throwing food in people's faces, I think he can be charged with a crime. I think he could. At least he could be sued in a civil case, that's for sure. Employees claim he was not doing enough as a kitchen manager to keep the kitchen stocked up on food. One former employee said they would regularly run out of key ingredients such as mayo, eggs, burgers, and fries. The former employee, who wished to remain anonymous, said the owner was verbally abusive towards the staff, would help during the dinner rushes. He would do weird things like cut down small trees in the parking lot or weld a shelf. You got to run your business, man. You can't just, you know, I'm going to do some woodworking or I'm going to do some welding. You got to run your business, man. He is a volatile and toxic. You never know what version of him you're going to get. That's end quote. The news site reached out to Christopherson and they have yet to hear back. And jokes aside, if he's actually physically throwing food into people's faces, then that actually, I think you can file charges against him if there are people that would witness that. And if I found out my teenage child was being abused by a manager like that, because that's what it sounded like, this was a teenager. If I found out my teenage child was being abused by a manager like that, trust me, there would be a lawsuit. There would be a lawsuit. I'd treat it as an educational experience, if you want to know the truth. Now, once again, this is one allegation by an employee. You know, if someone did want to take him to court, he has a chance to defend himself. But this is weird, man. Now, it's different from when, what was it, the Lions Tap down in Eden Prairie here. When that guy, remember, he was talking about no one wants to work anymore. Well, no, it was he put the sign out there. It was about he couldn't find employees. He couldn't find employees, and so he put a sign on the door that bellyached about how he couldn't find employees. No one wants to work hard anymore. Well, the first thing I said is, well, are you paying well? I get it. It's hard. You're in a tough location. If you don't know where that's at, it's kind of out just south of the Flying Cloud Airport. There's not a lot of residences over there. Plus the fact that, you know, it's Eden Prairie. It's a wealthier white suburban community. You generally don't get too many kids that are working, slinging burgers and stuff like that. That's generally, you know, it's kind of one of the, they're looking for, you know, at the very least a Caribou job or a coffee shop job or something like that. So, you know, I get it. It's a little difficult to get, you know, the employees on in the door. But then we find out, well, this guy, as he's sitting there complaining about no one wants to work and he's looking for a handout, this guy took PPP loans. So I was like, well, wait a second here. And he took quite a bit, too, if I remember correctly. He got quite a bit of money. But that was different. That was just, I think, you know, that conservative owner mentality of how dare you expect me to pay a livable wage? That George Bailey needs to be run out of town. That sort of thing. That's how I kind of took it. I just took it as a, you know, an employer who basically was shocked when all of a sudden, during a pandemic, people weren't willing to work for $8.50 an hour anymore in close quarters with other people who are coughing. That's kind of how I took it. That's different. This, I don't know what to think about any of this. I mean, the note is weird. The email that he's putting out there is weird. But then you get down to that, like I said, that the story that is being told that, you know, apparently he got so upset. He asked a question. Where is it here? In one instance, he asked an employee a question. He didn't like the answer. So he threw the entire BLT sandwich at the employee's face. He said, noting the employee was a teenager, people began to leave as soon as they couldn't take it anymore. That's out of the story here. You can't do that as an employer. And like I said, I mean, if that actually happened, that's going to be one expensive BLT, dude. I'm just going to say that's going to be one expensive BLT. It's going to be interesting to see how many people actually, well, first of all, it's going to be interesting to see, considering it's now getting press here in town. It's going to be interesting to see if he reopens, but it's also going to be interesting to see if he does reopen, how many of the staff come on back and are part of this new experience at a dive bar. I don't know. The reality is that, I mean, I want to be careful here because I don't want to apply what I've experienced with friends of mine who have owned bars have there. But one of the things I have noticed sometimes with people I've known that have owned bars, not necessarily here in the Twin Cities, but out of the metro area, is, you know, you know, it's a lot of work. It's a lot of work. You're generally there 6, maybe 7 days a week. You have to work the rushes. You have to go out there and do it. You have to clean up messes. And if you're short-staffed, you know, you're the one that's grabbing the mop bucket. That's just the way it is. And I've known people who've gotten tired of that and left it. But that's, you know, that's what you sign up for. That's kind of, you're the business owner. At the end of the day, if something needs to be done, you've got to do it. That sort of thing. I don't quite know what to think about what happened in this case at, what's the name of this place? Once again, the unofficial. I don't know what happened here, but just from the one story about the BLT, I think that there needs to be a little bit more of an investigation on what exactly was going on in there. And if there were other incidences like that, that's not going to end well. That's not going to end well. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. Let's take a break. Come on back. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It's the Matt McNeil Show. I think I don't know if I really have the evidence of a direct line from A to B here on this, but I think this next story is kind of a result to a point of what happened in Minneapolis on the 4th of July. The Minnesota State Patrol will increase its presence in Minneapolis and across the Twin Cities over the coming weeks in response to an increase in street racing and other criminal activity. The lawless and dangerous street racing we are seeing is unacceptable and must stop, said Colonel Matt Langer, Chief of the Minnesota State Patrol, in a statement. The State Patrol has been providing considerable resources to the Twin Cities for the summer, and that is what you will see again this weekend. According to the news release, an increased patrols will include 20 additional state troopers focused on street racing, as well as added aviation resources around the metro, particularly in Minneapolis on July 8th and 9th. The State Patrol will also continue high visibility patrols to assist the Minneapolis Police Department, which includes assigning 4 troopers in 2 squad cars to areas of the city deemed high crime locations. Troopers did not respond to 911 calls, but do coordinate with Minneapolis police officers to work that originates out of the patrols of the Department of Public Safety on the news release. The State Patrol's Highway Enforcement and Aggressive Traffic Program, HEAT, will also continue across the metro. According to DPS, the speed reduction program has led to 14,000 traffic stops so far this year, including 203 arrests. Oh, that's pretty good. We have seen a dangerous activity escalate in the Twin Cities metro region in the past few weeks, said the Commissioner John Harrington in a statement, adding that the State Patrol and Bureau of Criminal Apprehension are continuing to work with partnership, bringing together our safe local and federal agencies to hold offenders accountable and keep our community safe. The Department of Public Safety said the BCA has assigned 12 investigators and a criminal analysis to analyst to focus on gun crimes and homicide investigation in Minneapolis nearly communities, while stepping up the process of violent crime and reducing backlog of firearms. In the news release, DPS noted that in gun-related crimes, street racing and carjackings have increased significantly over the past 2 years. In May, Governor Walz provided DPS with $4 million in support to increase patrol and other initiatives. So, like I said, I don't think I have a direct line from A to B here, but I think in the light of what happened in Minneapolis with the fireworks and stuff, this is going on. You know, as far as the aerial stuff, you know, I'm guessing helicopters and stuff. The question, I guess, Minneapolis St. Paul seems to be a big enough town now to where, yeah, and by the way, if you go to some of these other towns, there are helicopters around all the freaking time. Go to L.A., go to Chicago. There's helicopters running around because it's either news copters following crime or it's police and or sometimes military. It's police and they're out there, you know, trying to track down people that are running from crime scenes and stuff like that. So, you know, why we get all those those videos of the you know, that you see on YouTube and stuff of the people running. Those are taken from the helicopters. And we generally don't – I mean, I know we've got some around the metro, but I don't think it's a consistent basis that we have it. And maybe it's time that it became one. And, yeah, I get it. It's – no one really wants to have a helicopter flying over the metro all the time, but the city's growing. And I can tell you this. I mean, the problems they have in Minneapolis – it's not just Minneapolis. In the wake of the pandemic, when the roads were still relatively empty – I mean, you know, there were multiple times I was out there and all of a sudden it was, you know, a bunch of fanboys from Fast and Furious out running down the roadways. I can tell you right now, State Patrol, go out to 169 south of Excelsior Boulevard down to the crosstown. It seems like every Friday and Saturday night they're out drag racing, some around 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock at night. They're running down there. And I can say this because I can hear it from my house. You can actually hear it. You can hear them drag racing down Highway 169. I know they have problems on 394 with that. So, I mean, I'm not saying Minneapolis doesn't have a problem here, but, I mean, I think that this is something now that it's not just the metro area. It's people that are taking, you know, they're trying to take advantage of the fact that there's lesser cars on the roads, and they feel as if there's no real consequences for this stuff. I will say I give them kudos here on the amount of arrests. What was it, 203? Was the number of arrests that they'd said that they'd made so far? That's, 203 arrests, yeah. Minneapolis, I'm glad the State Patrol is there because, frankly, I don't know what the freaking heck Minneapolis police are doing. And it's, yeah, sure, you know, they eventually start showing up to these events. But that is, I have heard in this last week, the number of people where they said, I called at 8, and I called at 9, and I called at 10, and they still had not seen one police car come as people are out firing off fireworks in the streets. And yeah, I mean, to a point, I almost kind of wonder, is the Minneapolis Police Department working on trying to create talking points for Republican politicians? By basically not doing anything, and then when all of a sudden there's a shooting in Boone Park, all of a sudden, oh, now we're out there, and then all of a sudden it's, we try, there are all these phone calls, and there's only 80 of us. There's still 80 of you. Where are you guys? And I get it. There's going to be a heavier presence probably in the wealthier, you know, parts of the city. But I've heard from a lot of people that were calling and calling and calling, and they did not see one police car. Someone should have come by. You think? You should have thought. I'm almost starting to wonder, is the Minneapolis Police Department actually working on trying to create talking points for the Minnesota Republicans by not showing up to events and letting things escalate? And the problem that there's a lot of problems I have with that. But one of the main ones is this, is if you allow this to keep escalating and escalating and escalating and not trying to stop the bad behavior, well, eventually you get 7-shot people in Boone Island Park. That's what eventually is the case. And then all of a sudden, like, oh, now, and by the way, did the police show up then? Yes. All of a sudden, police were swarming that area. Where the hell were you guys? And that's part of the problem I have, is that all of a sudden, when the shooting started, there were flashing police lights everywhere. Where was that? We've talked about this before, that the police union has done a lot of work to try to help Republicans out. And I'm at a loss at where the hell the cops were for a good chunk of the evening on the 4th of July in Minneapolis. The reality is that, I mean, along with the bad behavior being displayed, there needs to be a long investigation into what exactly were the police doing, and if the police decided they did not want to go on out, shouldn't they be held accountable? Because that's kind of their job. It's a tough job, Matt! Well, then they can quit. They don't want to do the job, then they can quit. But they shouldn't be out there. They should not be out there trying to push a political narrative. And I'm concerned. I'm not saying they did for sure. I'm just saying, what's going on here? Because boy, oh boy, did right-wing media and right-wing trolls all of a sudden love, I mean, my God, they can't post that video footage fast enough. But all of a sudden the shooting happened and every police officer suddenly, they were on duty again. Just pointing out an observation. That's all I'm doing. Pointing out an observation. And yeah, if you are that outstaffed, why aren't you making the call then to the state to say you need National Guard troops out? Seriously, can I ask that question too? If you are, if the argument you're making is we're so out, then make the call. But yet, I don't get the impression you guys did. So I have more questions about what was going on with the Minneapolis Police Department than I've got answers for. But the reality is I've got some serious suspicions that this might have been by design, frankly. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. Not saying it was. Not saying it was. But where the hell were you guys? You still had 80 people working that night. Where were you? 952-946-6205. We'll take a break. Come on back. Talk a lot about the ruling here, the signing here by Joe Biden about abortion rights. And funny, all of a sudden, Republicans are changing their tune on abortion. We'll talk about that as well. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It's the Matt McNeil Show. It's interesting because Republicans are desperately, I find it to be interesting, the argument of, oh, gas prices are so high. Well, actually, gas prices are down. As a matter of fact, the average in Minnesota right now is $4.63. It's been down 10 cents in the last week. In the last week, it's come down 10 cents. It's been coming, actually, I believe it's actually come down faster than that, actually. Yeah, it's coming down quite quickly. In Minnesota. Also, all of a sudden, Republicans are, the economy. It's the economy. It's all good economy, bad. And then Joe Biden has the jobs numbers here. And first they tried the old, Joe Biden has nothing to do with the employment numbers. It's all the bad numbers, the only thing he's responsible for. But then it's to jump to crime. Oh, crime, it's crime. That's it, it's crime. And so, and maybe that's their firewall. That could be their firewall to basically just go with the crime because, you know, if gas prices get pretty good, if they actually drop dramatically, or if the economy is, you know, the wages were up 5.1%. Wow. In 1 month, that's actually pretty good. So, you know, they're just frantically trying to find an issue. And the reason why is because, yeah, the internal numbers for Republicans on Roe v. Wade ruling is not good. Now, I want to remind people of two things. One, your frustration and anger at that ruling has to carry over till November. And then every single November for the next 12 years. It does. Number two, y'all need to vote. And you need to vote in this November. And you need to vote every single November for the next 12 years. That's the fastest way you're going to fix this problem. But that's what you're going to have to do. Joe Biden today condemned the extreme Supreme Court majority that ended a constitutional right to abortion and delivered an impassioned plea for Americans upset by the decision to vote, 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 vote in November. Under a mounting pressure from fellow Democrats to be more forceful in response to the ruling, he signed an executive order to try to protect access to the procedure. The actions Biden outlined are intended to head off some potential penalties that women seeking abortions might face after the ruling. But his order cannot restore access to abortion in more than a dozen states where the strict limits or total bans have gone into effect. About a dozen more states are set to impose additional restrictions. Biden acknowledged that the limitations facing his office, saying it would require an act of Congress to restore nationwide access the way it was before June 24th. The fastest way to restore Roe is to pass a national law. Biden said the challenge is to go out and vote. For God's sake, there is an election in November. Biden's action formalized instructions to the Departments of Justice and Health and Human Services to push back on efforts to limit the ability of women to access federally approved abortions, medications, or to travel across state lines to access clinical abortion services. He was joined by Vice President Harris, Health and Human Services Secretary Xavier Becerra, and Deputy Attorney General Lisa Monaco in the Roosevelt Room, where he signed the order. His executive order also directs agencies to work to educate medical providers and insurance about how and when they are required to share privileged patient information with authorities in an effort to protect women who seek or obtain abortion services. He's also asking the Federal Trade Commission to take steps towards protecting the privacy of those seeking information about reproductive care online and establish a task force to coordinate federal efforts to safeguard access to abortion. Because, and we need to make sure we understand this, why do they have to do these things? Why do they have to make sure that there's no charges against a woman who wants to get an abortion because she crossed state lines and then the police are waiting with them, leaning on the car, twirling the handcuffs? How come you have to basically make steps to basically prevent people from kicking in someone's door because they dared to go look at what states have legal abortion? And they basically had to go on out there and you know, they're trying to educate the healthcare system that it's like, no, that a law enforcement personnel cannot just get their health information from someone just because they want to know it. You can't do that. And the reason why is that there are states where all those things are being currently considered. Banning women from leaving the state because they might be pregnant. Arresting women when they come on back. Starting to watch and monitor website web usage, online usage to see who is and who is not looking at abortion services in other states, those commas states. And there are laws which basically say that, well, we don't care what the medical rules say, that our Office of Abortion Prosecution has complete right to everyone's medical records. Well, not men, you know, they're not going to violate men's rights. No, not that. No, women's rights, sure, all day long. Gosh, I mean, the Republicans will violate women's rights all day long, but men's rights, no. Biden is also directing his staff to line up women volunteers to provide women and providers with pro bono legal assistance to help them navigate the new state law restrictions. The order comes as Biden has faced criticism from they're just putting that in the ad. They're just putting those in the story just because they want to say, see, Democrats are mad at each other, huh? National media, we're not biased, but boy, those Democrats are angry with each other. Stop it. Since the decision, Biden has stressed the ability to protect abortion rights by executive action is limited without congressional action. We do not have the votes of the current Congress to do so. We need two additional pro-choice senators and a pro-choice House to codify Roe. Your vote can make that a reality. Biden, for the first time last week, by the way, Wisconsin, Ron Johnson, bye. That would go a long way. That would be one of the two. I have pretty good feeling about Pennsylvania right now, too. So there you go. Biden, for the first time last week, announced the support for changing Senate rules to allow the measure to restore nationwide access to abortion to pass by simple majority rather than the usual 60-vote threshold required to end a filibuster. However, at least two Democratic lawmakers have said that they make it clear they won't support changing Senate rules, and the Democratic Party somehow still allows them to be Democrats. But okay, fine, whatever. I guarantee you, if those two Democrats, if all of a sudden they have the two more Democrats get in there and they have, you know, enough votes to do it without them, all of a sudden it's like, well, hey, where do you get the idea? I didn't want to do this. I was just saying, I don't want to make my own voters really angry. So no, I'm all on board with this now. I bring this up because there is just a smidge of an identity crisis going on right now within the Republican Party in regards to what exactly they actually stand for. Now, apparently Scott Jensen, let's just remind everyone, prior to the overruling of Roe v. Wade, this was, and trust me, how many websites, Republican politician websites did I go to where the top issue is, I'll preserve life, no abortions ever. We'll wipe out that procedure and never have it legal in this state. Funny, especially in districts where there's a decent chance Democrats could win. Funny, you go look at those websites now And all of a sudden, it's like, oh, I don't know where you got the idea. I was this far-right loon on abortion. I'm all for plenty of options for it. I don't believe in the, you know, outlawing it for rape and incest. Where did you get that idea? Well, you a week ago were screaming that. It's interesting because Scott Jensen, as we, that's Scott Jensen. Scott Jensen is himself seeming to almost be at odds with his running mate. And it's bizarre how much he's fervently trying to moderate his extreme positions on abortion. After ruling out exemptions for rape and incest, Jensen now is discussing numerous abortion exemptions. Because he knows that he can't win a statewide race without the tertiary suburbs. And guess what? The tertiary suburbs are a little miffed about the old overturning of Roe v. Wade. Not just the justifiable and very understandable women who basically don't like the fact that this is just Republican men trying to control what women can and can't do with their own bodies, which it is. They don't give a crap about life. They do not give a crap about life. They're not hunting down deadbeat dads like they should. They're not out there making sure health care for the mother or the baby, or whether it's during the pregnancy or during afterwards, is taken care of. They're not out there making sure food and shelter are guaranteed for every baby in this country. They're not out there taking care of and making sure that there is affordable daycare options. They're not doing any of that stuff. Nope. They inserted themselves into this issue, and then they don't want any responsibility for the outcomes they demanded happen. But now all of a sudden, well, where did you get the idea? I mean, I'm, you know, there are plenty of options I'm okay with here. No, I want to make sure everybody understands something. I'm going to go back to something I said in the 4 o'clock hour here. And now, the 3 o'clock hour, and I was talking about Wisconsin and the statewide Supreme Court races, when that Supreme Court justice in Wisconsin comes on out there, who's clearly the conservative, and says, "I don't know where you get the idea. I'm some crazy far right kook ball. I'm not." No, don't trust them. They're lying. They are lying. Do not trust Scott Jensen. Let's just look at what happened in Virginia, where the Republican came out there and, gee willikers, golly gosh, what makes you think I'm a far-right extremist? Golly gosh, gee willikers, I work with the other side. I agree with Democrats on a lot of issues. Oh, you can vote for me. I'm not an extremist. And the second he won, and the second he took office, extremist, 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 extremist. Jensen is lying. He has to curtail his response to the far right extreme. Heck, his running mate is out there on the far right extreme. Ah, Frankenstein, Burke, that's who it is, Burke. So Jensen going on a radio show and out there saying, gee willikers, golly gosh, I've got lots of options here where I'm not this far-right extremist. I don't know where you get the idea. I'm for all sorts of women's rights. That tells you how badly they are losing this race now because of Roe v. Wade. The fact that this was, I mean, let's be honest with you, and understand the Republican voter. They don't care. They'll still vote for a Republican. That even Jensen could come out today and say, you know what? Frankly, I think abortion should be legal for the first trimester. I think it should be completely legal. And the Republicans will say, you know, what they'll say to themselves is, well, he's clearly lying to get elected, so we'll vote for him. And that's kind of how you should treat it too. Is that you shouldn't trust these guys. Which brings up another one, Kistner. This is the guy that's running against Angie Craig. A new report from the AP shows that after calling himself 100% pro-life, which I don't know about you, when I look at 100% pro-life, that would lead me to believe that you do not have any exceptions for rape, incest, or the life of the mother. which is kind of funny for pro-life. But needless to say, they're 100% pro-life. In his most recent failed campaign, Kistner has scrubbed his website to try to hide his toxic anti-choice position from his voters. This is the guy that's running against Angie Craig. In a clear sign that he knows how damaging his unpopular position is, he's removed any mention of abortion altogether. Think about that. I want you to think about that at the beginning of this election cycle, that you would have every Republican that has a, there's a chance a Democrat could beat them, has gone to their website and completely and totally annihilated any reference to abortion. Not all of them, but some of them have. They cannot, they know that if the Democrats are angry about this issue come November, they can scream about crime, they can scream about the economy, they can scream about gas prices, they will lose. And it doesn't help that they've got a clown car of kookiness that's basically the pretty much every candidate on the Republican side at this point. This is... While many Minnesota Republicans are quick to welcome Friday's U.S. Supreme Court ruling, Democratic U.S. Representative Angie Craig accused the GOP challenger Tyler Kistner of ducking the issue. The race in the mostly suburban district south of the Twin Cities is considered a toss-up as of Tuesday. He's not commented about the social media or issued a press release about it. Crickets Kistner. That's nice. That's a hashtag Crickets Kistner. has said nothing about the Supreme Court overturning Roe v. Wade, Craig said on Sunday. I will always protect your privacy and your freedoms. You will never have to wonder where I stand when it comes to your fundamental rights. Well done there, Representative. Apparently, and how about this, Kistner's campaign did not immediately respond to requests for comment on Tuesday about whether or not he's pro or against abortion. Now, this is from a few days ago, but still, think about that. His campaign immediately, I mean, okay, hi, this is a standard Republican running for office. I got a journalistic question for you. Are you pro or against abortion? I'm 100% against abortion. No charge, no chance, no thing. They're contacting him and he's like, ignore the phone. Don't answer that. Paraphrase. DFL party chairman Ken Martin, Tyler Kistner knows that the extreme anti-choice positions are so out of touch with Minnesotans that he won't even own up to them. It's going to be interesting to hear all these guys who, once again, we have plenty of evidence and on the record of their anti-choice, anti-abortion ways when they get to these debates, sit there and say, why do you have to bring that up? I mean, it's, you know, I'm not going to change anything, but I want to remind everyone, as much as they try to do the, well, gee willikers, golly gosh, I'm really a moderate, I'm not going to take anything. If you let the Republicans win in November, they will do everything in their power to overturn Minnesota's protection of your right to choose. They will. That is not a debate. That is not a question. They will giggle as they win and say, we can't wait till we get into St. Paul because that's the first bill we're going to pass. They will. Do not trust any Republican on this issue. Same exact thing I've been saying to when the labor union support a Republican. Trust me when I say that the Republicans have the chance to wipe out labor unions, they will take you out real fast. And you can sit there and say, well, they promised me, but it's not going to help you. Do not trust Republicans. They have placed party over Minnesota. They have placed party over country. They do not care, and they are not moderates. Let's take a break. Come on back. Some dancing to get us into the weekend. 952-946-6205. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950. Patrick, you did a very nice thing of reminding me of something, because I was on vacation when this happened. Who was the point person for the Republicans when this ruling came down?
That was Michelle Fischbach.
Oh, it's Minnesota 7. Yeah, it was something to the effect of, I'm perfectly okay with men taking away all my personal rights over my body. Everyone else should be too. Was it something like that? Wasn't it something like that?
I think so. I just remember she was kind of the lead media spokesperson for the Republican congressional delegation celebrating the overturn of Roe.
Yeah, it was something like this. I'm a woman, so... clearly, this isn't about getting, you know, taking away women's rights. See, it's progress.
And the other thing I brought up with you just a moment ago off air, Jensen made a comment about that a woman's life might be in danger for things not even related to the pregnancy. And I said, I think that's an out. He's looking for
he's desperately
out.
He is desperate. It tells me those numbers on this issue are so bad for them that they're frantically trying to, like I said, like Kistner, you call him up and he doesn't even want to answer. Wow. All right. We are done for the week. It's been a nice new week. I'm glad you guys like it. We'll be back on Monday at 3 o'clock. We got the guys out of Madison coming up here in the next hour. Native Roots Radio coming up here in the 6 o'clock hour. Mary Kanesh, I believe, is going to be joining them this evening. So make sure you join them for that. Boy Meets Girl. You want a one-hit wonder out of the 90s. And by the way, this video, very 90s. Have a great weekend. We are going to be back on a Monday. Until then, see ya!